Praise be Jesus and Mary. So today we celebrate this Marian Day, and we're reflecting on the presence of Our Lady in the life and devotion of Saint Therese. And for the homily, I thought it would be good if we read a little bit about Saint Therese on prayer. Okay, as I mentioned in the first talk, sanctity is the work of grace in the soul, right? And there are two principal means by which we acquire graces. The first are the sacraments, okay? That is the most powerful, most efficacious way to increase the life of grace in your soul. And so we see that all of the saints loved the sacraments, and so we should receive them frequently. Now that means confession and Holy Communion. To receive confession frequently, I usually recommend at a minimum once a month. And this is also talked about in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Paragraph 1458 mentions the benefits of regular confession. So I think a minimum of once a month. And then, of course, Holy Communion. And we're talking about at least on Sunday and Holy Days of Obligation, but even more often, if we're able to participate at Mass at some time during the week. You know, if we're seeing that our spiritual life is languishing, maybe we want to look there first. Do I go to confession regularly, at least once a month? Do I receive Holy Communion worthily, at least once a week, maybe even more often? So look to these sources of grace if your spiritual life is not as you would like it. Okay, so first sacraments, but then the other means that we acquire grace is prayer. We have to pray every day. So it's impossible to become a saint without this daily prayer. And again, as I mentioned in the first talk, we see that this is part of the instruction that parents should be giving to their children, right? Daily prayer within the family, led by the father, the spiritual head of the family. So now we're going to go to what Saint Therese wrote about prayer. And this comes from her diary. And so at this point when she's writing, we know that she's already been a nun for a few years, and she's experienced in prayer, and she's a Carmelite, okay, and they tend to be experts in prayer anyway. So Saint Therese says, "How great is the power of prayer! One could call it a queen who has at each instant free access to the king, who is able to obtain whatever she asks. To be heard, it is not necessary to read from a book some beautiful formula composed for the occasion. If this were the case, alas, I would have to be pitied. Outside the divine office, which I am very unworthy to recite, I do not have the courage to force myself to search out beautiful prayers in books. There are so many of them, it really gives me a headache. And each prayer is more beautiful than the others. I cannot recite them all, and not knowing which to choose, I do like children who do not know how to read. I say very simply to God what I wish to say, without composing beautiful sentences, and He always understands me. For me, prayer is an aspiration of the heart. It is a simple glance directed to heaven. It is a cry of gratitude and love in the midst of trial as well as joy. Finally, it is something great, supernatural, which expands my soul and unites me to Jesus." Okay, now, some of this we can relate to, I'm sure. But let's remember, Therese has been a religious for a while. She's experienced in prayer. Now, there are some people who limit their daily prayer to, "I speak to God every now and then. You know, I pray in my own way." Okay, that's not the message we should be receiving right now from Therese. Of course, it is important to speak to God in our own words, right? To have a familiarity with God. But I think a lot of times this method of praying, of not really having a set time or set prayers or particular books, a lot of times I think that is a result of laziness in prayer, not out of love for God and simplicity of soul that we find in Saint Therese. And so there are Christians out there who just go willy-nilly about their daily prayer life whenever they feel inspired. And oftentimes you'll find that this speaking with God and praying in my own way is limited to when I'm in difficulty, when I need something from God. Okay? Now we've turned God into a hip pocket God who we pull out when we find ourselves in need. Okay? That is not a loving, childlike relationship that we should have with our Heavenly Father. That is not what our prayer life should look like. So I think for most of us, having some concrete daily prayers that we commit ourselves to saying is very useful. And again, here's where a spiritual director is very handy. Okay, so he can kind of understand where you're at in your spiritual journey and give you some appropriate counsel on how to order your prayer life. So I'm just giving general counsel, okay, because we have a large crowd and I don't know the particular needs of each and every individual soul. So I'm saying in general, it's good to have some set prayers for the morning and some for nighttime that we commit ourselves to saying. Those prayers in preparation for the day, of asking for the graces that we need, of offering our day to God as a sacrifice of praise, and then at the end, an examination of how the day went, thanksgiving for graces received, pardon for faults committed, and asking for a peaceful night, these type of things. So to bookend the day, to start the day with our Lord, and to finish the day with our Lord, is kind of the bare minimum of prayer that we should have. And there are plenty of wonderful, as Saint Therese says, beautiful traditional prayers that one can begin the day and finish the day. So I think unless we find ourselves at the height of prayer, we should have that as a minimum. Now I understand that for devout souls, okay, let's say a conversion takes place, and this soul is just drenched with holy water, and they love the devout life, and they've stacked novena on top of novena in their prayer life, okay, in this moment of first fervor. Now, it's very common that as the soul makes progress in the spiritual life, the life of devotion and the life of virtue simplifies itself. Okay, so this is where I say a spiritual director is very useful. Because, see, the soul will start to become scrupulous and think they're failing God if they don't manage to get in all of their devotions and pray for each person by name. They've got a list of 10,000 names that they've memorized, and they're offering all that up. And now it becomes burdensome. And they sense this. And so they're scrupulous and that type of thing. So, of course, you can start whittling things down, like Saint Therese says. We're talking about a very simple soul who has made great progress in the love of God. And so, at the top of this mountain of holy sanctity that we are climbing up, on the top, there exists only the love of God. And so that's where Saint Therese is dwelling right now, as Saint John says, Saint John of the Cross. There exists only the love of God and his glory. So she's right up there. So no wonder, you know, these other formal types of prayers and novenas aren't appealing to her soul. She's living in a really continual union with God, a personal and intimate relationship with God. So this is where we should be striving to get to, but let's take one step at a time. Now notice, she still prays her divine office. That's an obligatory prayer if we're religious. She doesn't say to herself, well, I'm beyond that. I'm more advanced and I'm a more simple soul, so I'm not going to pray that. No. Notice she knows that prayer out of duty is pleasing to God. And so she does do that. And she strives to pray it well. So we go on. However, I would not want you to believe, dear mother, she's of course writing to the Mother Superior, that I recite without devotion the prayers said in common in the choir or the hermitages. On the contrary, I love very much these prayers in common, for Jesus has promised to be in the midst of those who gather together in his name. So it's important when we do pray that we pray well, that we pray with attention, reverence, and devotion. When an involuntary distraction comes along, no worries. As soon as you notice it, you calmly come back to the prayers that you're praying. I feel then that the fervor of my sisters makes up for my lack of fervor. Now, what St. Thérèse is referring to here is sensible fervor, not the fervor of the will. So that sensible fervor that we feel, those consolations, the warmth that God sometimes lets us experience in prayer, St. Thérèse is not feeling them. And see, this is why she's such a great and popular saint, because many of us can relate to this experience in prayer. And notice, she is a massive saint. So we should never get discouraged when we experience the same thing. However, we should examine ourselves. Is our dryness due to our own fault? Our lukewarmness in living the Christian life? Our negligences? Or are we genuinely striving to love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul? And nevertheless, he's permitting this experience of dryness. So you do need to discern. So in any case, St. Thérèse does not feel this sensible fervor, but notice she does have that more important fervor of the will. That is, she wants to pray to give glory to God, to save souls, and to increase her in her own journey for the love of God. She's striving to pray with attention, reverence, and devotion. So you see how here's the will involved. So that's a fervent will, notwithstanding no sensible fervor. Okay, so that's how we need to approach prayer. But when alone, I am ashamed to admit it, the recitation of the rosary is more difficult for me than the wearing of an instrument of penance. Okay? So again, she does pray it because, if I'm not mistaken, her rule required the prayer of the rosary. But nevertheless, she doesn't find consolation in it. Okay? So although none of us are bound, well, no, actually the friars are, but the laity are not bound under the pain of sin to pray the rosary every day. The church doesn't oblige us to. Nevertheless, it's recommended by Our Lady at Lourdes, Our Lady at Fatima. Every day she said it would stop wars. The saints, Padre Pio, always had the rosary in his hand. Okay? So the rosary, though not obligatory, is just so powerful that we should persevere in praying it every day. And maybe sometimes it can feel more difficult than an instrument of penance. You get tired, or there's just dryness of spirit. You can't focus on the mysteries. You're distracted. You do the best you can, and you offer it up. And you offer it up, and you persevere. Remember, I talked about the family being the place where perseverance in prayer is learned. I feel I have said this so poorly. I force myself in vain to meditate on the mysteries of the rosary. I don't succeed in fixing my mind on them. For a long time I was desolate about this lack of devotion, which astonished me, for I love the Blessed Virgin, so much that it should be easy for me to recite in her honor prayers which are so pleasing to her. Notice again, here we have a difference of sensible fervor and consolation compared to the will. Okay? And she's kind of confused by this. She knows she loves Our Lady so much. And yet she doesn't experience that in praying the rosary. St. Maximilian had the same experience when he visited the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes one time. It was at the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes that he experienced some interior trials of dryness and discouragement. And he encouraged himself by saying, well, what did I become a religious for? What did I sign up for? Not for consolations, but to serve Our Lady. Now I am less desolate. I think that the Queen of Heaven, since she is my mother, must see my good will, and she is satisfied with it. See, that's Our Lady. She's a good mother. She knows our weakness. Right? Think about the parent of a child who is weak. They just don't have many talents and gifts. You know, or think about the parent of a child who is disabled, you know, or something to that effect. Now, if this child does with all of their heart something out of love for the parent, you know, it doesn't matter to the parent whether it comes out successful or not, whether it's something beautiful, because the parent sees the intention of the child. And actually, that child who has fewer gifts but is expressing greater love for the parent by doing these simple things that in themselves don't mean much, right? That causes the parent to love that child even more. So it's the same thing with our Heavenly Mother. You know, she knows our weakness. She knows our inability. But she sees our hearts. She sees our goodwill. She sees our desire to love and honor her. And this is what brings her Immaculate Heart so much joy. Sometimes when my mind is in such aridity that it is impossible to draw forth one single thought to unite me with God, I very slowly recite an Our Father, and then the angelic salutation, Hail Mary, full of grace. Then these prayers give me great delight. They nourish my soul much more than if I had recited them precipitously 100 times. The Blessed Virgin shows me she is not displeased with me, for she never fails to protect me as soon as I invoke her. If some disturbance overtakes me, some embarrassment, I turn very quickly to her, and as the most tender of mothers, she always takes care of my interests. You see this Marian spirituality? How many times when speaking to the novices has it happened that I invoked her and felt the benefits of her motherly protection? Right? So Our Lady is the mother of each and every one of us, and she wants us to turn to her always. So we should have recourse to Our Lady, to her Immaculate Heart, in all of our needs and in all of our prayers. And she will console us and protect us with her maternal mantle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.